right now, we're going to talk about life skills that everyone needs to be a grown-up. These are just skills that you should probably know. Some of them, I think, are I think that makes sense. The first one here is balance a budget. The old advice used to be that everyone needed to know how to balance their checkbook, but thanks to digital banking and credit cards, it seems that check registers have gone the way of the woolly mammoth. But that doesn't mean that budgeting, perhaps the most important household skill there is, should too. In lieu of a physical accounting, make sure that you know how to track your income and expenses. You can create your own spreadsheet at home or use an app like You Need a Budget. But whatever you do, make sure you do it. Esmeralda, do you balance your budget?
I do, for the most part.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's, you know, now, do you still, Esmeralda, do you ever write checks anymore?
No.
Everything is paid electronically.
The bank I bank with does not have checks.
Oh, okay. I have there are a few bills that I still pay with checks, and I actually have stamps and stuff. This is how often I actually, you know, like, mail a bill. I just mailed a bill this morning here at the station, because they have that lovely mail chute that you can throw the mail down and watch it fly down, which I always enjoy, because I'm two. This is how often I do. I still have Christmas stamps. That's how often I mail checks. There's only about two or three bills that I pay a month that involve writing checks and mailing stuff. And then I write a rent check to my landlord every month. But outside of that, you know, everything is left up electronically. I don't necessarily balance a budget, because there's really not, I don't have much of a budget. I mean, I know how much I'm going to spend. I know pretty much how much I'm going to spend on my bills a month and how much I'm going to spend on food, and that's basically all I buy. So it's basically all I spend my money on. So here's another one. Boil an egg. Yes, Esmeralda, according to this, it's a life skill that everyone needs to be a grown-up. You need to know how to boil an egg. It's not very difficult to boil an egg. Eggs are a cheap source of quality protein, and when you boil them, you add portable to their list of wonderful qualities. But boiling the perfect egg can be tricky. Too short, you end up with a gooey, gross whites. Too long, and you have a bouncy ball that crumbles when you try to bite into it. Listen up, adults. It doesn't have to be hard. You ever see those? You ever see that thing that you can buy at the store that is shaped like an egg, and you put it in the bottom of the pan as the water is boiling? You put the egg in, and then it shows you when it's done. Like, there's like a timer on it.
No, I haven't seen that.
It actually works. I don't have one now. I had one when I was married. Like most of the kitchen utensils, I didn't get them. I lost them. But it was like there was this little sort of it was like a sort of a heavy kind of a plastic thing that obviously was resistant to, you know, heat and boiling water. And you would stick it in there. It would lay flat. It was shaped like an egg, and it would lay flat on the bottom of the pan. And when the water was boiling, you'd put the egg in, and then it told you when it was, you know, it had like a gauge on it that like a color would rise up on the egg, and depending on how well you wanted it done, it would tell you whether it was soft boiled or whether it was, you know, and you could make the perfect egg. And I think the item was called the perfect egg. Esmeralda, this is something that we should ask if you would buy.
God, I never saw it.
It's I don't know where the hell. I'm trying to think where Heather and I got it. I think we got it like a Bed Bath and Beyond or something in that regard. But it did work. I mean, it worked every single time. If we wanted to do a soft boiled egg, you know, or a hard boiled egg, it would be perfect every time. Now, from what I understand, this is how I hard boil eggs. You get the water going, all right. And once it boils, when the water is at the, you get the eggs in there, and then once it boils, when it comes to a rolling boil, cover it and you turn the heat off and you leave it for 15 minutes, and you have a perfect hard boiled egg. So, but once the water boils, like you got a good boil going, heat off, cover on, 15 minutes, perfect hard boiled eggs. So, unless you have that little thing, the perfect egg thing that you stick in the pan. I don't even know what it's called. Dan, can you kind of Google something like an egg? It's not an egg timer, although it kind of is, but it's like, you know, it's an interactive egg timer that gets cooked with your eggs as opposed to, you know, a little timer that you have on your counter. But we saw it and we thought it looked cool and we bought it and it worked every time. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know if it stops working after you use it for forever, because I think we only had it for a couple of years. We use it for a couple of years. Maybe you have to replace it because it wasn't very expensive. It was pretty cheap.
The first things that are popping up, and I don't think this is it, but it was the Egg Genie.
The Egg Genie. No, the Egg Genie, that's a made for TV movie. No, that's not a made for TV movie. That's an as seen on TV item, right, Esmeralda?
I don't know.
It sounds like the Egg Genie sounds like one of those things that I've seen commercials for, at least the name of the product. Well, how do they describe it, Dan?
Let's see here. Cooks up to 7 hard, medium, soft eggs manually off or built-in cooking timer. Clears top away, allowing you to view eggs while cooking. Egg tray allows you to easily transport and serve. Convenient egg poaching tray, built-in piercing pin.
Okay, that's not... Because the thing that I had, it was about the size of an egg. And it was, you know, that's all it was. It was something you dropped in the in the water. Maybe I'm making this up. Maybe I hallucinated the whole thing. Anyway, so learn how to boil an egg, everybody. All right, let's take a break. We got the news coming up next on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, Wildcard Wednesday. Hear me, Wildcard Wednesday. That's any artist, any song, anything. You pick it, we'll play it. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Steve picks the Lamont Cranston Band, which has been getting a lot of talk here during the week, and that's Route 66. Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We're talking about life skills that everybody needs to know and how to do to be a grown-up. And after 3 o'clock, Matthew Hoffman, the programmer of the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series, is going to join us to talk about his screenings later today and tonight of the great Planet of the Apes, the original 1968 classic. There's a 2 p.m. matinee and a 7:30 screening. Jay Warren will be performing prelude music before the 7:30 screening at 7 p.m. And it's at the parkridgeclassicfilm.com. You can get all the info, and we'll talk to Matthew about that and more. Planet of the Apes, the movie, became Planet of the Apes, the TV series. And so we're going to talk about TV shows that were based on movies. And that's coming up as well. And we want to hear from you on all of this stuff. Phone lines and text lines are always open at 312-981-7200. Let's go here to Patty on WGN. Hi, Patty.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Good. I was hearing about your egg cookers. And forget the boiling water. Just buy the electric hard-boiled egg cooker. Works fantastic.
Oh, the electric hard-boiled egg cooker. Just plug it in? What do you do? Just
fantastic.
Put the egg in, plug it in, and it goes.
Yeah, you got to prick the eggs and do a couple other things. But but it worked. The eggs come out fantastic. And they have another device now that I have not bought this yet, that you just put the hard-boiled egg, once it's done, into a little container, and you shake it. And you can peel it. It comes out peeled.
Yeah, right? I've seen that. I've seen that advertised on TV. Yeah.
And they've gotten great reviews. Everybody that I read the reviews loves
Okay.
Loves it.
All right, Patty, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
By the way, I found the product that we were talking about. We just got some texts, and I looked it up during the break. Esmeralda, it's called the NorPro Egg Right Timer.
That is a very long name.
It's the NorPro
very small thing.
Egg Right Timer, and that's NORPRO. And right is spelled RITE, and it's $5. It's shaped exactly like an egg, and inside the thing on the bottom it says soft, medium, or hard. And when the color reaches soft, take it out because it's a bit soft boiled. When it reaches medium, so on and so forth, and when it reaches hard, and it worked every single time. It was like $6, like $5. And another Patty says, Nick, are you thinking of the Egg-Zact egg timer? It's a sensor that changes color. It's close to that. And then 630 area code says it's the NorPro Egg Right Timer, which is only $6. 630 says, could it be the color shift egg timer? You put it in with the eggs and it changes color to soft, medium, or hard boiled. Yeah, that's it. That's basically it. And there are a few different types of similar products, but this is that's the one that we had, and it worked every time. And again, I don't know how long it lasts. $6. I don't know if it's going to last. You know, you probably have to go out and, you know, probably have to go out and buy another one. Now, I don't think it's going to last forever, but it worked. I mean, every single time it worked. So, all right. Let's see. What are some of the other things that you need to know to be a grown-up. To sew on a button. People, everybody should know how to sew on a button. Dan, can you sew on a button?
I used to when I was a kid. I probably couldn't do it now.
Yeah. I haven't sewn on a button since, you know, I can't remember the last time I did. Esmeralda, you do a lot of button sewing?
I can do it, but not well.
Yeah. Clothing quality has markedly decreased over the years, and unfortunately, so have sewing skills. This means that not only is a popped button, a hanging hem, or a hole in a sweater inevitable, but you're stuck buying a new item or relying on safety pins in weird places instead of what should be a simple fix. Learn simple DIY clothing repairs, including sewing on a button that has popped off. Everyone should learn how to change a tire. Yeah. I've changed a lot of tires in my time. Dan, you've changed tires, I'm assuming.
I have, yes.
Yes. And I know that Esmeralda and V have had experience with changing tires because Dan had to go out and... Or no, that was a jump,
that
right?
That was a jump.
That was a jump. Okay. Yeah, that was a jump because you couldn't... You didn't know... Didn't you? Because it was a new vehicle.
I was borrowing my aunt's car that week, and so I didn't know how to get the hood open and all that stuff.
All that stuff.
At least it wasn't raining.
Yeah. Esmeralda, do you know how to change a tire? Have you ever changed a tire?
I have never, no.
It's not hard. It's pretty easy. How about this? You need to understand consequences. Want to stuff yourself with cake and not gain weight? Take off every Friday but still have a job on Monday? Speed but never get a ticket? Well, we're sorry. We can't break this to you, but this is not the way the world works. We all know this is on an intellectual level, yet we rage against it on an emotional level, living as if we don't understand the law of consequences. So here you go. When you make a choice and you do something, you are also choosing the consequence. It's a package deal. As you get older, you know what? As you get older, this is absolutely true. When you're younger, you don't care. You know what I mean? But as you get older, it's like, I'm not going to do any of this stuff anymore, ever. There's consequences for everything when you start getting older. You sneeze, you might throw your back out. That's, you know what I mean? That's a real thing. Like, oh, man, my back is killing me. What did you do? I got out of bed. So the consequence of getting out of bed when you're around my age is that your back is going to hurt or your legs are going to hurt.
My friend Aaron pulled a muscle while ironing the other day.
What was she ironing?
I don't remember. I don't remember what she said she was ironing, but her daughter got the biggest kick out of it.
Oh, she thought it was hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah, just wait. Well, how old is your daughter?
Trudy is 9, 10.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait till Trudy gets to be 50. Then we can talk. Change a diaper. That's what everybody... Change a diaper. I have never changed a diaper. I'm assuming, Dan, you've changed a lot of them.
And Olivia's at that stage where she turns over mid-diaper change, too. It's a pain in the ass.
Oh, man. Now, see, here's the thing, though. You have girls.
I do.
So you don't get peed on. I mean, you get peed on, but in a different way. They won't pee on your face.
Right.
So that's what I mean. I'm sure you've been pooped and peed on. You're a father.
Yes.
I'm sure of that. But, like, it's a different, you know, when you got a little boy, it's like, hey, look at the little hose shooting in my face.
Yep.
Esmeralda, have you ever changed a diaper?
I have, yeah.
Have you? Just, like, babysitting, stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never changed a diaper, ever. So that's a skill that I guess I'm supposed to learn how to use. What, for what? How about this? You got to learn. Everybody needs to know how to do a load of laundry. Who doesn't know how to do a load of laundry?
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was starting college, there's a lot of situations, a lot of people staring at detergents and being like,
Yeah, I guess... When you're like, again, 19, 20 years old, I guess, you know, and if you've lived at home, this is your first, you know, your first time and your you know, your parents have done the laundry for you. But, yeah. I think a lot of people who are, college students, I can understand, just looking at the dryer going, what's that? sometimes. Man. Esmeralda, do you guys have a laundry room in your place, or do you have you actually have laundry in your house? In your
we have a washer dryer in the apartment.
Oh, that's so convenient. We had that when I was a kid. When I was growing up, we had a washer dryer, and we had a really big. We lived in a really big apartment, so we had a washer dryer in the house, and it's so easy. My laundry room for my apartment is like all the way through the courtyard, down the stairs into the basement, and the walk. I live on the second floor, and the walk alone is aggravating. And then, like, if you get there with your laundry and then there's, like, three other people backed up waiting to use the machines, that's so aggravating. You know? It's so easy. You're in the house. Just throw some laundry. You can do, like, a half a load. You can do, like, just a half a load. And so you don't even have any dirty laundry. You could actually conceivably not have to have a hamper if you have a washer dryer in your building or in your house, in your apartment. There you may never have to use a hamper again. Just do a load. You're home. You know what I mean? Just get up, go and do a load. Do you guys do a lot of laundry? Is it going pretty regularly, Esmeralda?
I mean, not really. We don't have that much clothes, I guess.
Yeah.
It takes a while to accumulate a load of laundry.
But man, I mean, have you lived with laundry facilities in your house for a long time? I mean, I know that in this apartment you did.
No, I always had a laundry room. But before that, I had that little washing machine because I didn't...
Yeah, what was it called? The Panda?
Wombat? Yeah, I didn't want to deal with laundry rooms because I find them disgusting.
I do, too. I absolutely agree with you. I do my laundry at a laundromat. I go to a laundromat. I usually hang out. I usually go... My folks and I do our laundry together. Because my laundry room is... Like you said, Esmeralda, it's not the most pleasant place in the world. You're in a basement. And again, if you know, you're sharing this with so many other people, and, you know, it might not be kept up to standards. And also, it's just that people are slobs. And you know, I live in a really big building. There's a lot of tenants in our building. And the facilities, there's not enough facilities to accommodate all the tenants. Because every single time I've done laundry... In my building, every time I go to the laundry room, there's people backed up already. You know what I mean? There's the washer is being used, the dryer is being used. There's somebody waiting for the washer and another person waiting for the dryers. Just pain in the neck. So just go to the laundry. Just go to the laundromat. Throw some quarters in and go nuts. But if I had a washer dryer in my apartment, that would make a world of difference. I've always been jealous of people who have washer and dryers in their apartment. I'm jealous of you, Esmeralda.
I mean, that was one of my, when moving, I was going to find a place with a washer dryer in the apartment.
Yeah, no, that is a great thing to have. There's no question about it. Dan, do you guys have it in your basement?
We do, yes.
Yeah. So, I would imagine you guys do go through a lot.
We do go through a lot, but, you know, it's one of those things where it just ends up piling up in the basement or on the landing
down in the basement. Sure. Okay. All right, well, more things that you need to learn to be a grown-up. and we'll do that after this break. Coming up after 3 o'clock, our friend Matthew Hoffman is going to join us. He's a programmer for the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. They're doing a 2 o'clock matinee today of The Planet of the Apes and a 7:30 tonight screening of the original 68 Planet of the Apes. And we'll get all the details on that coming up. And then we're going to talk about TV shows that came from movies. And because Planet of the Apes became a television show. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're talking about things that you need to know to be a grown-up. All right, here's the next one. Cook a meal. Says spaghetti counts, so does chicken and rice. Frozen pizza does not. Learning to make a meal, from selecting a recipe to shopping for the ingredients to cooking and to cleanup, is a vital life skill for anyone who likes to eat, so that means everyone. You don't have to be a chef or even make something with more than 5 ingredients, but you'll be amazed at how empowering and fun it might be to play around in the kitchen. Plus, if you prepare your food right, home cooking can have numerous health benefits. I agree with that. I don't cook as much as I used to, and I'm sad about that. I like cooking for people. That's the thing. I mean, you know, make a nice meal for yourself if you live by yourself. That's fine and all, but I used to like just having people over and cooking. It's always one of my favorite things. People should know how to shop for groceries. This seems real basic to me. I don't know. I don't know. Do you have to tell people how to shop for groceries? Here's what they say. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. We're not talking about Santa. We're talking about you. Walking into a store without a plan is the fastest way to blow your budget and end up home with 3 boxes of donuts and no milk. Making the effort to plan your meals, write an organized list, and shop from said list will save you money, time, and frustration. To make it easier, keep a running list throughout the week, adding items as you go. Some pro shoppers find it helpful to make categories like produce, dairy, and frozen, so you don't have to zigzag around the store to find all the stuff on your list. That's good advice. I always make a list when I go grocery shopping. I've never gone, you know, I don't improvise at the grocery store because that, don't you agree with that, Esmeralda? Here's two things. Don't shop when you're hungry. Never grocery shop when you're hungry, which is, I think, a great piece of advice. And then don't go, I say you don't go shopping without a list, or at least knowing most of the things you want to buy. Would you agree with that, Esmeralda?
Yeah, I mean, I think it cuts down. It saves you money, too, because then it cuts down on things that you don't necessarily need.
Right. All right, how about this? Brew a perfect pot of coffee. That's a necessary skill to be a grown-up, is to brew a perfect pot of coffee? Love coffee? You could start investing in Starbucks, or you could learn how to make the perfect cup of Joe. Even if you're not a big coffee drinker, you know how the world's favorite drink is guaranteed to come in handy at the office with friends or when family visits. Well, now you don't have to know how to. You just stick a pod in there and press a button. Isn't that how people make coffee now?
It is, but they're single serving. So, you know, I think for, you know, if you're hosting that dinner party,
you want a pot of coffee.
You want a pot, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, another one. How about this? Drive a stick shift. Oh man, this is not that the millennials do not know how to drive a stick. Dan, can you drive stick?
I cannot.
Esmeralda?
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, but it's not going to be necessary, really, right? I mean, there's no, they don't have manual drive anymore, do they? I mean, they don't make manual drive, do they?
Right. I mean, it is left only to specific vehicles like the sports cars and things like that where
right.
People are enthusiastic, but most mainstream cars do not offer it.
It says, you may not own one, but cars with a manual transmission are definitely not extinct. Learning how to drive a clutch can save you if you have to borrow a friend's car in a pinch or if you happen to end up in a BMW M5 on your hands. Never had the chance to drive stick. Buddy up with a friend who has a manual car and work through the basics. You'll be a pro in no time. It's not hard. I mean, I you know, when I first started trying to drive stick, you could smell the clutch a mile away. It was my girlfriend who, I, at the time, she had a manual, and she's like, well, you have to learn how to drive stick. And so she taught me in her car, and she was very frustrated because I kept burning her clutch. It was like, come on, no! So... finally, you should write a thank you note. This is a skill that you must have in order to be a grown-up. Nothing is more charming or more appreciated than sincere gratitude. Handwrite it on beautiful stationery, a rarity in our tech-obsessed culture, and it becomes a meaningful token, sometimes treasured for years afterwards. Yeah. You just send a text. Thanks a lot, jackass. That's what I usually write when I thank somebody. There are other ones on here like accept criticism, say the word no, have face-to-face conversations. That's a good one, and especially in this day and age, which we don't. Learn how to use your oven. That goes along with cooking a meal. And shopping. Those are all things that kind of go hand in hand in hand. So, anyway, little life skills that everyone should know to be a grown-up. All right. I'm very far away from being a grown-up, but there you go. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then our good friend Matthew Hoffman, the programmer of the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series, is going to join us to talk all things ape. That's coming up after the news, which is next.